Trinadapi sunichena, turadiva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatiranyata. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the third part now of today's Krishna book class. We are studying the prayers by the personified Vedas. This section is called Nitya Mukta and Nitya Badha. I would like to offer my respectful obeisances to the author of this book, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who accepted me as his disciple in April 16, 1974. The personified Vedas continued, Dear Lord, you are equal to all, with no partiality toward a particular type of living entity. It is due to their own material desires that all living entities enjoy or suffer in different conditions of life. As your parts and parcels, they are just like sparks of a fire. Just as sparks dance in a blazing fire, all living entities are dancing on your support. You are providing them with everything they desire, and yet you are not responsible for their position of enjoyment or suffering. There are different types of living entities, demigods, human beings, animals, trees, birds, beasts, germs, worms, insects, and aquatics. And all enjoy or suffer in life while resting on you. Srila Prabhupada now comments, The living entities are of two kinds. One is called Nitya Mukta, or ever liberated, and the other is called Nitya Badha, ever conditioned. The Nitya Mukta living entities are in the spiritual world, and the Nitya Badhas are in the material world. In the spiritual world, both the living entities and the Lord are manifest in their original status, like live sparks in a blazing fire. But in the material world, although the Lord is all-pervasive in His impersonal feature, the living entities have forgotten their Krishna consciousness to a greater or lesser degree, just as sparks sometimes fall from a blazing fire and lose their original brilliant condition. The sparks fall into different conditions and retain more or less their original brilliance. Some sparks fall onto dry grass and thus ignite another big fire. Prabhupada continues to comment. This is a reference to the pure devotees who take compassion on the poor and innocent living entities. The pure devotee ignites Krishna consciousness in the hearts of the conditioned souls, and thus the blazing fire of the spiritual world becomes manifest even within this material world. Some sparks fall onto water. They immediately lose their original brilliance and become extinct. They are comparable to the living entities who take their birth in the midst of gross materialists, and in which case their original Krishna consciousness becomes extinct. Some sparks fall to the ground and remain midway between the blazing and extinct conditions. Thus, some living entities are without Krishna consciousness. Some are between having and not having Krishna consciousness. And some are actually situated in Krishna consciousness. The demigods in the higher planets, Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra, the sun god, and various other demigods, are all Krishna conscious. Human society is between the demigods and the animals, and thus some are more or less Krishna conscious, and some are completely forgetful of Krishna consciousness. The third grade living entities, namely the animals, beasts, plants, trees, and aquatics, have completely forgotten Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada continues, "This example stated in the Vedas regarding the sparks of a blazing fire is very appropriate for understanding the condition of different types of living entities. But above all other living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or Purushottama, who is always liberated from all material conditions. The question may be raised as to why the living entities have fallen by chance into different conditions of life. To answer this question, we first have to understand that there cannot be any influence of chance for the living entities. Chance is for non-living entities. According to the Vedic literatures, living entities have knowledge, and thus they are called Chaitana, which means in knowledge. Their situation in different conditions of life therefore, is not accidental. It is by their choice, because they have knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja ang tuang sarva papebhyo mokshayasyami ma sucha. Give up everything and just surrender unto me. This process of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead is open for everyone, but still it is the choice of the particular living entity whether to accept or reject this proposal. In the last portion of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna very plainly says to Arjuna, Ittite jnanam ahyatam kuyad guyataram maya varmishyaitat asheshena yate shasi tata kuru. My dear Arjuna, now I have spoken everything to you. Now you may choose to accept it or not. Similarly, the living entities who have come down to this material world have made their own choice to enjoy this material world. It is not that Krishna sent them into this world. The material world was created for the enjoyment of living entities who wanted to give up the eternal service of the Lord to become the supreme enjoyer themselves. According to Vaishnava philosophy, when a living entity desires to gratify his or her senses and forgets the service of the Lord, he or she is given a place in the material world to act freely according to one's desire. And therefore he or she creates a condition of life in which one either enjoys or suffers. We should definitely know that both the Lord and the living entities are eternally cognizant. There is no birth and death for either the Lord or the living entities. When creation takes place, this does not mean that the living entities are created. The Lord creates the material world to give the conditioned souls a chance to elevate themselves to the higher platform of Krishna consciousness. If a conditioned soul does not take advantage of this opportunity after the dissolution of this material world, he or she enters into the body of Narayan and remains there in deep sleep until the time of another creation. In this connection, the example of the rainy season is very appropriate. Seasonal rainfall may be taken as the agent for creation, because after the rainfall, the wet fields are favorable for growing different types of vegetation. Similarly, as soon as there is creation, by the Lord's glancing over the material nature, immediately the living entities spring up in their different living conditions, just as different types of vegetation grow after a rainfall. The rainfall is one, but the creation of the different plants is varied. The rain falls equally on the whole field, but the different plants sprout up in different shapes and forms according to the seeds planted. Similarly, the seeds of our desires are varied. Every living entity has a different type of desire, and that desire is the seed which causes his or her growth in a certain type of body. This is explained by Rupa Goswami by the word Papa Bija, the seeds of sinful desires. The Bhagavad Gita explains that our sinful desire is that we do not surrender unto the Supreme Lord. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papevyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. I shall give you protection from the reactions of sinful desire. These sinful desires are manifested in different types of bodies. Therefore, no one can accuse the Supreme Lord of partiality in giving one type of body to a certain type of living entity and another type of body to another living entity. All the bodies of the 8,400,000 species are created according to the mental condition of the individual living entities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama, only gives them a chance to act according to their desires. Therefore, the living entities act by taking advantage of the facility given by the Lord. At the same time, the living entities are born from the transcendental body of the Lord. This relationship between the Lord and the living entities is explained in the Vedic literature, wherein it is said that the Supreme Lord maintains all His children, giving them whatever they want. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasang brahma mahad yonir ahang bija pradapita. I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. It is very simple to understand that the father gives birth to the children, but the children act according to their own desires. Therefore, the father is never responsible for the different futures of his children. Each child can take advantage of the father's property and instruction. But even though the inheritance and instruction may be the same for all the children, out of their different desires, each child creates a different life and thereby suffers or enjoys. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita's instructions are equal for everyone. Everyone should surrender unto the Supreme Lord, and He will take charge of everyone and protect one from sinful reactions. The facilities of living in the creation of the Lord are equally offered to all living entities. Whatever there is, either on the land, on water, or in the sky, is equally given to all living entities. Since all living beings are sons of the Supreme Lord, everyone can enjoy the material facilities given by the Lord. But unfortunate living entities create unfavorable conditions of life by fighting among themselves. The responsibility for this fighting and creating favorable and unfavorable situations lies with the living entities, not with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, if the living entities take advantage of the Lord's instructions, as given in Bhagavad Gita, and if they develop Krishna consciousness, then their lives become sublime, and they can go back to Godhead. One may argue that because this material world is created by the Lord, He is therefore responsible for its condition. Certainly He is indirectly responsible for the creation and maintenance of this material world, but He is never responsible for the different conditions of the living entities. The Lord's creation of this material world is compared to the clouds' creation of vegetation. In the rainy season, the cloud creates different varieties of vegetation. The cloud pours water on the surface of the earth, but it never touches the earth directly. Similarly, the Lord creates this material world simply by glancing over the material energy. This is confirmed in the Vedas. He threw His glance over the material nature, and thus there was creation. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed, Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam Hetunanena kaunteya jagat vipari vartate. Simply by his transcendental glance over the material nature, he creates different varieties of entities, both movable and immovable, living and dead. The creation of the material world can therefore be taken as one of the pastimes of the Lord. It is called one of the Lord's pastimes because he creates this material world whenever he desires. This desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also extreme mercy on his part, because it gives the conditioned souls another chance to develop their original consciousness and thus go back to Godhead. Therefore, no one can blame the Supreme Lord for creating this material world. From the subject matter under discussion, we can gain a clear understanding of the difference between the impersonalists and the personalists. The impersonal conception recommends merging into the existence of the Supreme, and the voidist philosophy recommends making all material varieties void. Both of these philosophies are known as Mayavad. Certainly, the cosmic manifestation comes to a close and becomes void when the living entities merge in the body of Narayan to rest until another creation. And this may be called an impersonal condition. But these conditions are never eternal. The cessation of the variegatedness of the material world and the merging of the living entities into the body of the Supreme are not permanent, because the creation will take place again, and the living entities who merged into the body of the Supreme without having developed their Krishna consciousness will again appear in this material world when there is another creation. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this fact. Avyaktad yaktaya sarva prabhavat yahar agame ratyagame paliyante tatraiva avyakta sangyake. This material world is created and annihilated perpetually, and that conditioned souls without Krishna consciousness come back again and again whenever the material creation is manifest. If such conditioned souls take advantage of this opportunity and develop Krishna consciousness under the direct instruction of the Lord, then they are transferred to the spiritual world and do not have to come back to this material creation. It is said, therefore, that the voidists and impersonalists are not very intelligent, because they do not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. Because they are less intelligent, these voidists and impersonalists take to different types of austerities, either to attain the stage of nirvana, which means finishing the material conditions of life, or to attain oneness by merging into the body of the Lord. All of them again fall down because they neglect the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, after studying all the Vedic literature and hearing from all authorities, has given his opinion that Krishna is the only Supreme Master and all living entities are his eternal servants. His statement is confirmed in the prayers by the personified Vedas. The conclusion is, therefore, everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is serving under the supreme direction of the Lord, and everyone is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is out of fear of Him that activities are rightly executed. Everyone's position is to be subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Yet, the Lord has no partiality in His view of the living entities. He is just like the unlimited sky. As the sparks of a fire dance in the fire, similarly all living entities are like birds flying in the unlimited sky of the Supreme Lord. Some of them are flying very high, some are flying at a lesser altitude, and some are flying at a still lesser altitude. The different birds are flying in different positions according to their respective abilities, but the sky has nothing to do with this ability. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord confirms, Ye yatha mang prapadyante, tangs tathaiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manusha partha sarvasya. Krishna awards different positions to different living entities according to their proportionate surrender. This proportionate reward by the personality of Godhead to the living entities is not partiality. Therefore, in spite of the living entities always being under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in their different positions, spheres, and species of life, He is never responsible for their different living conditions. It is foolish and artificial, therefore, to think oneself equal to the Supreme Lord. And it is still more foolish to think that one has not seen God. Everyone is seeing God according to his or her capacity. The only difference is that the theist sees God as the Supreme Personality, the Most Beloved, as Krishna, and the atheist sees the absolute truth as ultimate death. Thank you.